Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey guys, what's up? Happy Wednesday. Welcome back. You're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 16. Today, we have on one of my personal mentors, Igor Kaifetz. Igor was born in the Ukraine, and he now lives in Israel. He wasn't happy with the 9-to-5 job, and he decided to take a chance. He decided to create an online marketing business. Igor went almost 3 years without seeing any profit, but he stuck it out. He kept pushing forward, kept learning from mentors, kept implementing and testing, made sure he was successful in his own mind, you know, even when times got very difficult and he wasn't seeing the actual physical results, and he had his breakthrough. And now today in 2016, he is very successful and he teaches other people as well how to do just what he's doing. And I'm really honored, Igor, I'm really honored to have you on the show today. Guys, if you're loving the show, please tell someone about it. Let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. So without further ado, here's my first interview with Igor Kaifetz. Hey, Igor, what's going on, man?
Hey, Thomas, doing great. You?
I'm good. Excited, man. Excited to have you on the Positivity Effect.
Well, thank you for having me. This is my very first guest appearance on the podcast, so, you know, my nipples are hard, and I'm really excited.
I'm honored. And, you know, normally, you know, it's we talk about, like, having some noise in the background, but, like, it's an honor to have you at the coffee shop right now, because that's, like, this is your spot, man.
Yeah, because my daughter and my wife just won't let me work back home. It's always there's something happening. You know, she becomes sort of paralyzed when I'm around, and my daughter always, you know, craves attention. So I just sneak out to the coffee shop for a few hours every day, and you know, this seems to work for me. You know, I'm sort of a loner type of guy. Like, I actually have a team working in an office space, but I don't like going there.
The coffee shop is like, it just, it helps you mentally open up. It's your space that you go to, and that's where you're most productive.
Yeah, but I can't say that I'm always here. You know, sometimes you just got to change things around. So I'll go to the office, or I'll get sick of the office and the coffee shop. So I'll just drive up to another town to do some work while my wife, you know, might want to do some shopping. It really just depends on my mood. Like, I'm you know, a very moody person as well. Like, I'm not your sort of positive type of guy. So as far as, like, locations, they help to get focused for some reason. And, you know, sometimes you just want to see a new environment. That's why I never liked the job in the first place, because it's every day it's the same thing, and it's just so annoying and just sucks the life out of you.
Yeah. Well, Igor, let's jump into it. That's interesting what you said. You know, just a second ago you said, I'm not a positive guy. And, you know, I think a million ways that we can look, you know, we could look at that word. You know, because a little bit before, in the beginning, I gave a little intro into really about who you are and what you do, and you're very successful at what you do now. And someone that's listening, they say, you know, how can I have an online business? You know, how can I do this? Like, what? And I'm sure there's been many times it was difficult. You know, there's ups, there's downs, and when you do the industry that you're in, you have to have a certain level of mental toughness, you know, to continue pushing forward. And like you said, like, sometimes it's just you, you know, you have your team behind you, but you're the one that's really driving the whole, the business forward. So let's talk a little bit about the business and where you got started with it.
Well, obviously starting out, I was, you know, I didn't have a team, and not only didn't have a team, I didn't have a clue. And if there was, you know, if there was an idea that I was basically not accustomed to, that was positive thinking, because I grew up in Ukraine and I moved to Israel. You know, these countries, you know, they're always in a state of conflict. you know, the Ukrainians are fighting the Russians or fighting each other. The Israelis are fighting, you know, Palestine and other countries around here. So, you know, you could literally cut the tension with a knife where I was growing up. And it wasn't about positive thinking. I wasn't exposed to any Western sort of philosophy growing up. So obviously when I was starting this business out when I was 19. I'm 27 now. So it just, you know, never resonated with me, the whole concept, because I was like, how can you be positive when things don't go as planned? Or how can you be positive when you have no clue what to do next, when you're confused, when you're scared? Like, there is no, I had no reason to be positive, you know? And so the whole concept of positive thinking in and of itself never worked for me, although it might work for other people. But I believe that you can only think positive if you have a reason to think positive. Meaning that without preparation, I couldn't be positive about doing what I was doing, right? Without getting a hip on the skill set I required in order to succeed, I couldn't be positive. But even today, you know, having succeeded, having made my first million, even today, it's sometimes really difficult to be positive, because you deal with problems that are oftentimes bigger than yourself. You make mistakes, and you know, you just got to get upset now and again. But overall, I would say that I have a lot to be thankful for. I would say that would be a better, you know, way to put it. I have a lot of things that I appreciate now in life, and a lot of things I'm thankful for, including my family, including my business, including, you know, the mark I left on the world so far, helping a lot of people, you know, start making a full-time income from home. You know, some of my team members who I help, you know, stand up on their own 2 feet in life. And that is something I appreciate. That's something I'm truly grateful for. But just being positive for the sake of being positive, you know, it's just never worked for me. And I find it to be, you know, I always laugh when I see another guru talk about it.
Right. And, you know, and we talk a lot about that on the show. Like, it's not about just smiling at, you know, when something is, especially when something difficult is happening in your life, you can't just like put a smile on and it's gonna wish it away, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And my dad's like that, actually. You know, whenever something bad happened, especially when I was growing up in Israel and we started getting, you know, really sunk deep in debt, I remember he would go to the bank, come out really upset at first, because we were like we had a huge debt, which I ended up settling for them, for my parents. And he would then, just literally 10 minutes later, he would start laughing about it. He would start joking about it. He would do something stupid. And I never got that. I was like, are you just trying to avoid thinking about your problems? Like, just shutting away from it using your humor? Because that's not healthy. Yeah. And even then, when I was like 15 and 16 years old, I understood the concept that if you don't deal with your problems, they're going to haunt you. They're going to grow bigger. So eventually, when it was time for me to spread my wings, I decided to adapt a different attitude, you know, an attitude of a go-getter, an attitude of a person that is basically going to do whatever it takes to succeed. Now, I did not know exactly what I'm supposed to do. You know, I had no idea. In fact, I sort of stumbled into what I do today. I just knew the general direction, which was the internet, because I spent my teenage years playing, you know, shooter games like America's Army, Counter-Strike, like all of these games. And it's just, I just love computers. Even though I received my first computer way later than most of my peers. So back to the whole positive thinking element. Yeah, you can be positive about it. You can laugh about it, but only if you have a reason to do so. You know, with laughing about your problems without a reason instead of dealing with them is actually not a healthy thing. It's not productive. And it's definitely not going to solve them for you. It actually will end up burying you even deeper. You know, I've met people like that. They just refuse to look at the real situation. You know, I'm not asking you to be a pessimist, I guess what I'm saying, but I'm asking you to be able to take a cold, hard look at where you are compared to where you want to be and ask yourself, what can I do right now? Right? No excuses. What can I do right now in order to make my situation better?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, somebody sees the name of my show and they're like, that's what they're thinking they're going to get. And that's kind of, sometimes we talk about those things, but it's once they come on, they understand that what we're talking about is it's things like that, what you just said, Igor, is you have to be open to understand, you know, that you have to make a change. But sometimes, you know, a lot of people I talk to, they don't even, they're not aware yet. They don't have the awareness that they have to make the change. And that's where we talk big about having, you know, having somebody in your life that you could speak to, or just being open to sharing what's going on in your life with someone that's close to you. And usually that person can give you, you know, a different perspective. Now there's something I want to talk about. I'm going to be a little candid, you know, because you mentioned about you, how you paid some debt off for your father, and it's just so honorable that you said that. And I wanted to share with the listeners, because I'm a client of yours. I've been a client of yours, and we're going to get into a little bit later, actually on tomorrow's episode, we're going to get into what you do what solo ads are and what you do. And just from listening to you and from, you know, some of the recordings I've heard in the training that you provide, you had actually talked about how you provide a lot for some of your family. And I think that's just very honorable, man. And I think that's part of, I want to talk about your drive, but I think that's part of just probably who you are and what pushes you forward, if I'm correct, right?
Well, to be honest, you are correct, but I never even realized how true that was until about 2 years ago when somebody asked me. I was going through some personal coaching at the time with a bunch of really great people, and they asked me, "What is success to you? You know, like, what exactly does it mean to you to be successful? And if you could close your eyes, what do you see when you think success?" And the reason they asked me this question is because we think as humans, right? We think in little mental movies. So when you think of anything, you have a really short mental movie going through your mind of exactly what that thing means to you, right? You can, and let me give an example. Thomas, don't think of a pink elephant riding a blue car with an umbrella. You know, like, you can't help but start thinking a little blue elephant, you know, riding a little blue, you know, pink car, whatever, with the umbrella, because your brain just works like that. So when they asked me this question, I closed my eyes and I genuinely wanted to do this for myself and find out exactly, you know, what does success mean to me? Because starting out in the business of making money online and just, you know, wanting to become rich and wanted to become wealthy and wanting to have more security, I always thought that success meant what it means to most people. You know, Wolf of Wall Street type of setup, you know, lots of cocaine, hookers, big mansion, crashing helicopters off of a roof of a yacht, you know, it just crazy life like that, where it's, you know, supposedly that's what success means. But imagine my surprise when I closed my eyes and I saw myself parking in my own driveway, walking into my own home, and seeing my wife and my daughter play in the living room on just a sunny afternoon, right? And they're just smiling. And when I walk in, you know, they run towards me to greet me. That was my idea of success, which, you know, when I interpreted it, it meant to do what I love to do, something that I enjoy doing, something that I believe in, and doing it so well that coming back home exhausted, I feel that the day's work was done, you know, like that I feel great about what I've done that day, and that I'm not coming to an empty place, but I'm coming to a home full of love and laughter. And it was nothing, you know, it was nothing about, you know, hookers and cocaine and making gazillions of dollars. Like, that was a big surprise to me, because I always sort of like secretly believed that I'm missing out on life not having all of that.
Like having this, yeah, this big, just big Hollywood kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like ridiculously shocked, and all of a sudden realized that I am successful. I lived up to my own image of what success meant to me, and that it had nothing to do with the Wolf of Wall Street, which, you know, incidentally inspired me a lot when I read it to push harder in my business and to deal with my stuff. And just a little quick thing that I wanted to add. I later on started investigating, and I read the book called The Millionaire Next Door. And it turns out that most millionaires in the United States actually live the same lifestyle I do. It's the quiet folks who run their own business, who accumulate wealth, and who basically just invest themselves into two things: their business and their family.
It's the ones that we see, you know, that everybody talks about. It's just Hollywood, you know. It's just what we see in the movies. And it's so true. Now, Igor, how important, you know, that image that you just described to us about coming home, seeing, you know, walking in and the sunshine, seeing your wife, seeing your kid, you know, just playing with each other, just that happiness moment that, you know, for you, it's so personal and you go to it. How important was that imagery? You know, when you first started, I want to ask you, like, how long did you have to go until there was you know, there was money coming in the door? And how important was that image to keep you pushing forward every single day, even when there was no money coming in?
Well, that's a great question. The first thing you need to know is that it took me about 3.5 years to see any sort of success online. In fact, for 3.5 years, I worked without seeing a single dollar come back. I mean, money went out, but nothing went in. So that was like a really long journey, which incidentally, when I was going through it, I was thinking, you know, I thought that I'm going through hell. But looking back on it, I was like, that was like the greatest 3.5 years of my life, because I made something of myself. So that was 3.5 years, which is way longer than most people, I guess, are willing to endure, but it's not the longest I've heard. I've heard about people going for like 15, 10, 12 years without success, which it doesn't necessarily make them better people or makes them more deserving people. It just means that there was their journey. But you'd also like, and I know I keep doing this, but like, I'm really not ordinary when it comes to motivation. Like, I find a lot of people are motivated by positive, you know, you paint a big, great picture in front of them and they want to go for it. I was never like that. I don't think I'm like that right now. I was more of a fear guy. You know, I was more of a move away type of person. You know, there's
so like if, you know, it was so, you just didn't want to be in a certain place in your life. So that was what drove you to just keep pushing forward.
Exactly. So I hated where I was so bad. And I basically, you know, I used to run these mental movies of how my life is going to look like in 5, 10, 15 years from now, unless it's going to change. And I was like, man, I don't want to stay here. So I'm going to do whatever it takes for how long it takes to get out of the situation I'm in. And so my motivation to succeed, which kept me going even when I saw no profit, no return, and oftentimes no activity whatsoever in my business, was the greatest fear of my life at the time, which is the fear of poverty.
Was there times that you just wanted to give up?
Are you kidding me? There were more times when I wanted to give up than there were times of me wanting to push harder than me. You know, like, I had to drag myself out of bed. I had to drag myself, you know, to work and after work. It just, you know, at the time, life felt like a constant struggle. And to my surprise, when I became successful, you know, I always looked for this moment when it becomes easy. You know what I mean? Like, I always look for that threshold where all of a sudden I don't need to struggle anymore. And I found out that it doesn't exist. Like, you can actually struggle and be miserable in any place, in any time, with any income, with any issues.
Right. You can be completely comfortable too with where you are. Even though you're not like saying, you're not becoming complacent. Like, right, you always want to move forward, but you can be grateful at the level that you're at and move forward. And also, you can be completely miserable at the level you're at, even if you're, you know, you could be at a super high level but be miserable.
Absolutely. And I met people like that. Usually these are the people that do drugs and do all that crazy stuff. So eventually, after going through some other personal coaching, like, I actually took on a lot of coaching throughout the years. I'm talking about 10 or 15 different coaches in different areas, like marketing, salesmanship, personal development, public speaking, like, you name it. Like, if there's a coach for something, I'd probably either looked into it, you know, or purchased it. So I learned that you choose what you are at any given moment.
Everything starts in the mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything starts with the way you perceive your situation. So you can be, you know, feeling, I know people who actually make 10 times more money than me, and they consider themselves to be losers, and just, you know, nobodies, although they're like really successful people. So it really depends on how you look at yourself. It doesn't mean you're going to set yourself, you know, set low standards for yourself. That's, I don't think that's healthy, but you can always appreciate the moment where you're at. You can always appreciate the progress you've made, because as long as you're taking action, you're always moving forward, like you said. And the one thing that I guess that helped me going, which I only now realize to be the case, was to always have a big goal in front of me, right? So my goal was to, of course, not to end up poor and miserable. And so that goal, always, you know, I always kept it in my sight. And as long as I had it, I could balance your life. You know, they say that a person is like a bicycle. As long as you're moving forward, as long as you're driving towards a goal of some sort, you're not going to fall down. But the moment you don't have a goal, you're going to fall down. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, you could say that you're on track, but if you're not moving forward on that track, you're going to get run over.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's funny because there's people out there who say you don't need to set goals.
Yeah.
And I think there was a best-selling book at one point that was called Don't Set Goals, which ended up on the top 10 Amazon or New York Times bestseller.
It's a polarizing name.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's brilliant marketing. But the message, you see, there's so many people out there who believe that setting goals doesn't work, that they are actually looking for reassurance of that to be the case. Although all successful people always set goals. And the way I look at it, you know, like how the hell are you supposed to know how to get where you want it, like how to succeed if you have no idea what that success looks like? Like without setting a clear goal, there's no way your internal GPS system is going to take you towards that destination.
Oh, it's so true. Like if you just say, you know, if we're talking about the United States and you're up in New York and you're like, I want to go to Florida, and you I'm just going to start driving to Florida. If you don't have a map of where you're going, you're never going to make it. You don't know where you're going. You're just going to start driving aimlessly, and you know you're never going to make make it to your destination.
Yeah, absolutely. And it all starts with actually knowing the destination. You know, like when you get into the car, you know, it asks you where you want to go or whatever. If you got like a talking GPS thingy, like the fancy one, I actually don't. So you know, you got to say, okay, I want to go to Florida. And the more specific you are, the better, of course. So I want to go to Florida. I want to go to the Keys. I want to go to this hotel, to this street number, etc. And then you begin your journey. Then you know where to go. But until that happens, you're just wasting your time.
It's so true. So true. So, Ego, we're going to be wrapping up today's interview. You know, we're going to be having you come back on tomorrow. But I just want to ask you, you know, kind of tying back into everything that we spoke about the visualization and how important the visualization was on your journey in creating wealth and you know, really through those tough, you know, first 3.5 years before you succeeded. What was it like for you when you finally started to achieve some success and you had money in the bank and there was some security to come home? Like you said, that image of coming home to your wife and child and like you completed that journey, you know, like how powerful was that for you?
Well, it was, you know, it was so unbelievable that I just could not accept it. I kept on trying to look for what I was missing or whatever. Like I couldn't even notice that it became successful because I was obsessed so much with the whole process of becoming successful. And when I did, and I took a look at my life, and I realized that it's something that most people will never do in their life. I felt proud for 20 seconds. You know, that's the problem with success. You can never have too much. You can never have, you know, it doesn't last. That's why it's important, you know, to keep setting new goals for you. That's why you see successful people, you know, always set higher goals. Because the moment you satiate the goal, you need another one. Now, that brings you to, you know, I don't know if we're supposed to talk about happiness or not, but, you know, happiness and satisfaction and being happy is all about realization of where the goal. It's not about hitting the goal. It's not about actually getting the goal.
I agree. It's the journey. Process. Yeah, it's the journey. It's the process, definitely. You know?
Yeah, so as long as you focus on that process, not only, you'll find yourself to be much more satisfied with life and much happier than most people out there. But also being present with executing on the process is actually going to ensure you're going to become successful at it.
And it's like now, and now too, like I guess as a personal goal too, right? Now that you have reached this spot where you're able to, you know, be your own boss, work from home when you want, spend more time with your family. It gives you actually more. It frees you up to make new goals personally too, to spend more time with your family, to do more things with your child, you know. And it's even you know, on the non-business side, you're able to expand your own goals.
Oh yeah, absolutely. At some point, once you're like, you know, oftentimes there's I found myself delaying personal stuff, personal goals, hiding behind my business. I would be like, well, when I do this, when I hit this number, I'll go working out. You know, I can't work out right now because I'm too busy in my business. But after a certain time, you realize you're never going to find the time unless you make it. So, you know, after you satiate some of your goals that are driving you right now, this very moment, you'll have more mental capacity to think about it, right? So if money isn't everything, if success and accolades isn't everything, what else there is to life? And then you start focusing on relationships, on personal health, on mental health, on like I actually love going deep into psychology because I just take, you know, great interest in it, and just, you know, go deep.
You just keep going.
Yeah, even if I don't profit from it, I still want to learn it and become like better communicator. Say I want to master, you know, relationships, and I want to do better at relationships, especially my personal ones, because becoming this great, you know, online business tycoon, I sort of neglected what I was doing with my family. And at some point I found myself to have a lot of money, but, you know, my relationship was falling apart. So it was like a classic scenario, right? Where, you know, people who chase the money usually end up neglecting their family. I didn't want to become one of those people. I think that's mediocre behavior. You know, I believe that I could have the family and the income and the health and everything else. So there was no necessity to make a choice. You know, so again, mental capacity, new goal, I was set, and I went that direction.
So powerful. And I just want to leave the audience with a cliffhanger. You know, Igor, you know, just from personally working with you, I know that English is not your second language. And you, my friend, your English is fantastic. And I think, you know, people are probably curious too. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. We're going to get into a little bit more about what you do in your business, because I'm sure people are starting to wonder. We're going to talk a little bit about solo ads. So stay tuned, guys. Igor, man, thank you so much. This has been awesome.
Thank you.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. Something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.